Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. Let's open our program with a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you again for watching over us, Lord. We just thank you for the opportunity to be on the air once more. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us be an encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you, Lord, and all things that we can lift up and glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for all these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight, and what an absolutely gorgeous day. If you were with us on Friday, on Friday afternoon, and I'll say a word about that program here perhaps in a little bit, but it was miserable outside Friday when I left the studios here. It was kind of hit and miss rain when I came to the studios Friday, and I had some errands to run, and I was... I left the studios here in Independence. I had to go up into Seven Hills and then back down to Broadview Heights and then over to Brecksville and then finally back to Richfield where I'm at. And I was in and out of rain, and I had some stuff I wanted to do outside if at all possible, but that was impossible. I got home and I was sitting inside working on a couple of things, and it just opened up and poured there late Friday afternoon. And in I think about 15, 20 minutes, I had about over four tenths, almost half an inch of rain in about 20 minutes come down, and just pelting in, by the bucketfuls. A little bit of lightning and thunder, but not as much as I expected. And then, Saturday morning, woke up, and the sun was out, and it just was an absolutely gorgeous day yesterday. And I was able to get some things done. We were putting up a flagpole, and that was one of the things I was hoping to do before yesterday. Yesterday being Armed Forces Day, and so we put that up. My son and I got that into place. I had somebody helping us out, and there were three of us working on it last Monday, getting the cement for where the base of the flagpole goes poured, and then. We got up Saturday morning and got the flags on there, and got an Air Force flag for myself, a Marine flag for my son, as well as, of course, the U.S. flag on top. And we got it all in place, and an absolutely gorgeous day on Saturday, as I said. And then got up this morning, and here it is yet again, another gorgeous day today. And I had to ask myself, am I in northeastern Ohio still? I mean, Saturday and Sunday weekend, both absolutely gorgeous days. This can't be Northeast Ohio. Maybe this is a sure sign of the apocalypse. I don't know, you know, but I'm not going to complain. It's just absolutely beautiful days. And so I hope you had a chance to get out and enjoy some of it. But right now, and by the way, it was nice when I came up to the studios tonight, very comfortable outside. I think it was about 68 degrees or something like that. Very comfortable. And another thing I noticed, I was talking with several people this past week, and we were all remarking about how few mosquitoes we've seen this year. Normally by this time you're out in the evening, the mosquitoes start to carry you off. Unless I'm sitting next to my wife, they like her better than me. So if I'm smart, I'll have my wife outside with me and I don't get bit as much. But if she's not out with me, then they come after me a little bit more. But some people just attract mosquitoes. That's all there is to it. But We've been noticing not many mosquitoes this year, it seems like, and I'm not complaining about that either, but it is an odd sort of thing, and the things go in waves, it seems like, sometimes, how these things, a lot of animal populations, insect populations and things are cyclical. There'll be peaks and ebbs and flows, peaks and then the population will diminish the next year or so, and it goes up and down, and it's a cyclical thing, it's natural, but still. It seems to be a very, very low number. Now, there's a lot of ticks out there if you're out hiking. There are a lot of ticks outside right now. Yeah, be careful of them. And as I got into my car to come up to the station, I saw a first firefly here for this year. And I thought, well, that's kind of cool. Here it is. It's almost the end of May, and there's a firefly. I saw something blink. I thought it was reflecting light off from something, and I watched it carefully, and sure enough, there was a firefly flying around over in the neighbor's yard. So that's kind of neat to see. Well, again, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Our phone number, as I said, is 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go online, you can find out more about me and more about the program. You can listen to past programs there. If you aren't able to catch our Friday afternoon program, I have them there. Excuse me. And wanted to mention that I do have this updated on the website. It says the 10th of May, which is a week ago Friday, but if you go to our Facebook page or one of our other social media page or my Telegram page, you can look for instance, on Telegram, Live with Pastor Al, or you can go and find us on Facebook. Let me take a quick gander over there real quick. On Facebook, you can find us. Let's see here. Wait for that to load there. You can look up Live with Pastor Al on Facebook. You can also find us on USA Today, MeWe, Gab, True Social, what used to be Twitter, X now, and several other things there. But I do have last Friday's program up, and some people were asking when this was going to be up, and I wanted to mention this because while I was working on the flagpole Friday afternoon, evening, I wasn't really paying attention to my phone too much, and I had somebody trying to contact me to see if they could schedule a guest to be on the radio, and I didn't find out about it. I was tired. I went to bed Monday night, and I didn't even look at my phone. I didn't see this until Tuesday. And on Tuesday, I found out they were trying to get a hold of me. And there's a movie that's coming out in August called The Firing Squad. And one of the stars in it is Kevin Sorbo, if you remember him from God's Not Dead and a number of other things. He did a number of movies and the old Hercules TV show in the 90s, as well as playing Captain Dylan Hunt in Andromeda after that. And then God got a hold of his heart, and he felt the need to be doing family-friendly, faith-friendly movies, and he's gotten into a number of these, and if you saw God's Not Dead, he was the atheist professor was attacking the one student for his belief in God, and he's now coming out in a new movie where he plays, I believe it's Pastor Lindbrook, who is a guy on death row in an Indonesian prison based on a true story. And then there's two other characters there that are all on death row. And they all get saved. They come to Christ while in an Indonesian prison. And one of the characters is from, I think, Australia. Another one from, they're all three from outside of Indonesia. And it shows how God worked in their lives and how they came to Christ. And so an interesting story. And I had the opportunity to have Kevin Sorbo on the radio. Now, normally that's not a direction that I go, but I thought, well, you know, had the opportunity to do it. And so I sent off a text saying that the only time I could do it would be on Friday because there was no time because they were hoping I could pre-record on Thursday. And I had a funeral on Thursday and a bunch of other things going on Thursday. I just had no time and I couldn't make time. And I said, the only time I've got is Friday afternoon, 1:30. And since we were a local show, not a national show, they were going to give us 15 minutes. I said, at 1:30 or 1:45. And the guy said, I don't know if it's going to work out. But he called me back the next day or sent me a message the next day and said, it's on. He's going to be with you. And so we had that this past Friday. Kevin Sorbo, we were talking about faith-based filmmaking, as well as his new film, The Firing Squad. And if you go to our webpage, livewithpastoral.com, you can see some of our links to some of our social media sites. Or if you're already on Facebook and look up Live with Pastor Al on Facebook, or if you're on Telegram, you can find us on Telegram, livewithpastoral.com. And if you do that, you can listen to the program from last Friday. So just check that out. And I hope it'd be a blessing and encouragement. I've never done an interview like that before, so it worked out well. All right. Well, other things, again, a reminder, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And then in addition to about me and the program, you can listen to both hours. You can see both hours of our Friday night program, the 11 o'clock, 10 o'clock hour, the 11 o'clock hour. That's all there. A number of articles and things that I've written, and some other materials all at livewithpastoral.com. And then you can go from there to our church page at for the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. You'll see the links there. And you can learn more about our church there as well. And I, of course, pastor the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. It's the main sponsor of the program. We'll have more information on that later. But certainly invite you to give us a visit sometime. And let's see, what else did I want to mention here? I'm thinking coming up here, of course, Saturday, I think I mentioned, was Armed Forces Day. And it's the first, really, of three holidays that we have on the calendar that often get misunderstood and misconstrued. And I just wanted to mention that, and then we'll be getting to some calls here tonight as well. But we have Armed Forces Day, which is May 18th, and then the last Monday in May, they observe Memorial Day. And then, of course, November 11th, we have Veterans Day. And people get these confused. Each one really is distinct. And Memorial Day is not another Veterans Day, though veterans often get recognized. And nor really is Armed Forces Day another Veterans Day, though veterans get recognized on Armed Forces Day as well. Armed Forces Day, this is how to understand it. Armed Forces Day is for those who are currently serving the United States Armed Forces. And that's a day to honor and to remember them. Memorial Day is, as I said, it's not another Veterans Day. It's not another Armed Forces Day. It is a standalone holiday where we remember those that gave their life in service to their country, those that sacrificed, that you and I can have the freedom that we have today. And so that's for those that lost their life in service to our country. That's Memorial Day. And then Veterans Day on November 11th is a day to recognize and remember those veterans who have served their country, but they did not die in service to the country, like those we can we honor on Veterans Day or on Memorial Day, but those who are alive and they've served, whether they served one term or they, you know, two terms, three terms, retired, whatever the length of time, whether they were enlisted, whether they were an officer, or whatever they were, whatever capacity they served in, we're remembering those who served in our country or for our country so that we can have the freedom we enjoy. So you got Armed Forces Day for those currently serving, Veterans Day for those who gave their lives in service to our country, and Veterans Day for those who dedicated a portion of their life to serve in our country. So those are three good holidays to remember. And that reminded me of something else I was going to mention here. On the 7th of June, we are going to be joined on the radio on our Friday afternoon program with Chris Long of the Ohio Christian Alliance calling from Washington, D.C., where he is going to be there. It's going to be there for the observance of the the D-Day invasion. And he is going to be there, and he's going to be out talking with people out there at the World War II Veterans Memorial, and in particular at the portion of the memorial, the newest portion, which is the D-Day prayer circle that's off on the Atlantic side of the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. And that was just dedicated this past year. Some of you may remember I was there with the dedication, and our sister station 1420 Bob France was the MC there. Historian, author, and historian William Federer spoke as well, and a number of other people there. Of course, Chris Long, the Ohio Christian Alliance, it was his brainchild. He was the moving force behind getting the D-Day prayer added to the World War II Memorial in Washington, D.C. Well, he's going to be joining me on the radio on Friday, June the 7th at 1:30 right here on AM 1220 The Word, and he's going to be calling in from, if it works out correctly, he will actually be in the D-Day prayer circle portion of the World War II Memorial and talking about what's happening and some of the people that they're seeing there and how the World War II Memorial and the D-Day prayer circle in particular has been affecting people. So pray for that program. Looking forward to doing that. It would be nice to be there for the D-Day observances, but I'm happy to be able to have Chris Long on the radio talking about that. So, all right. Well, with that, maybe a little longer, sometime talking here this afternoon or this evening, but just wanted to share some of that stuff before we get into the program too much, because otherwise I won't get to it or I'll forget about it. Check us out online live with PastorAl.com and give us a call tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air tonight. Nancy, of course, first one to call in tonight. Nancy, welcome to the program this evening.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call. And thank you for distinguishing those three holidays. There are some similarities regarding armed forces people. Mm-hmm. Now, my question or subject tonight is regarding... I'm a night owl, and I believe you are, too.
I am as well, yes.
What you've said. I just wondered, now, I did find a couple of Bible verses regarding sleep, and I want to know, after you analyze them, or maybe you have some other Bible verses, is there anything unbiblical about going to sleep too late and then sleeping in longer because you go to bed real late? Okay, now Proverbs 6:9. Mm-hmm. How long will thou sleep, O sluggard? I hope I'm not a sluggard. When will thou rise out of thy sleep? Yet a little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. And then I think this one's saying don't sleep too much. Proverbs 20:13. Love not sleep, lest thou come to poverty. So I didn't know if there was anything unbiblical about being a night owl. It seems like the Bible promotes the idea of not sleeping very much or sleeping a little bit That's the impression I got from some other Bible verses, too.
Well,
you could comment
on that. And that is something that comes up periodically. I remember one time I had somebody make a complaint against me. I was on the mission field, and they were saying, well, if you didn't stay up so, no, how did they say it? They were saying something about, no, if you didn't sleep in so much, not like they were giving the example of, this woman was giving the example of her husband, saying, if you didn't sleep in, if you got up early like my husband, who actually only got up an hour before I got up, you'd get more done. And then I pointed out that her husband was getting up at 7 in the morning, and he was going to bed about 8 o'clock at night. And getting up at 7 in the morning, I said, well, you know, I go to bed about, at that time, I was going to bed about 1 in the morning, and I was getting up at 8 in the morning. And I said, so let's see, if he's going to bed at 8 o'clock at night, and he's getting up at 7 in the morning, that's, well, let's see, that's 7 plus 4, that's, what's that brings up, 11 hours in bed. And I was going to bed about 1 in the morning, actually sometimes a little later, probably frequently a little later, but let's say 1 in the morning till 8 in the morning. So that's about 7 hours. I'm actually in bed half as long as he is, approximately.
Well, I think that Bible verse, Proverbs 20:13, love not sleep. So he was being unbiblical by sleeping.
Well,
exactly.
And see, that's why I bring that account up, because it's not so much the idea of what time of the day you get up. It has more to do with how much time you fall asleep. Now let me mention something here, because somebody's bound to say, well, the Bible talks about getting up early and when the sun rises and things like that. You have to remember that when Psalms were being written and much of this was being written, people were pretty much dependent on the sun for light. You know, they didn't have electricity in the house. You didn't have artificial lighting. You had candles. You had lamps. You had various things. And so if you stayed up at night, you had to burn your candles. You had to burn oil in your lamps. You had these things you had to do. And if you slept in the morning when the sun had already risen, you were losing daylight when you could be outside working. Because think about it. I can remember when I was a kid, before we put electricity in our barn, going out with my dad using an oil lamp in the wintertime, you know, when the days are short, and going out in the wintertime helping. We had dairy goats, and we had some beef cattle and some things like that, and going out with a flickering oil lamp to take care of the animals when it was dark. And let me tell you, when we had lights on in the barn instead of an oil lamp, it was a lot easier to see what you were doing than using a flickering oil lamp. So people would try to work during the day. That's why you wanted to get up early, so you could take advantage of the sunshine, the sunlight, and go out work in the fields and get things done and all of that. And so by sleeping in, you missed out on time that you could spend being productive in working. And so that's part of it right there. And the other part is like you pointed out, the amount of time that you spend in sleep. We don't want to love sleep till we sleep half the day away or more. You know, a guy was sleeping for 14 hours a day, and his wife was telling me that I was spending too much time in bed, and I was in bed half the amount of time. You know, I was pointing out that in the evening, I get a lot of stuff done, you know, and so I was being more productive because I was using my time rather than sleeping. And, well, she didn't want to talk about it after that, but when I pointed out that I was in bed half the time. But, you know, what was it? Benjamin Franklin, early to bed, early to rise, makes a man healthy, happy, and wise, you know.
I was thinking of it.
Well, you know, I go to bed early and I get up early. I go to bed early in the morning and I get up early in the morning. And I'm not somebody who, you know, typically sleeps hours and hours. You know, I'll frequently during the week go to bed, you know, 2:30 or later, and then I usually get up by 6:30, and take care of a few things and then try to take a nap for another hour or so after that. And, you know, a lot of times, if I can get 5 hours of sleep, I think I'm doing pretty good and I feel pretty good the rest of the day. I'm trying to think. I had stuff going on. I went to bed last night. I want to say about a quarter till 2 a.m. So I went to bed early and I got up at 7. So I actually had, a little more sleep than usual in some senses, I suppose, but at the same time, not everybody does that. You know, I'm not like Donald Trump, you know, President Trump,
you know, he only gets 4 hours of sleep.
Yeah, 3 or 4 hours of sleep a night. I remember reading stories about Albert Einstein, how I think it was Einstein, or no, not Einstein, Thomas Edison, who would stay up and get up early, stay up late, and he would take cat naps during the day. And I don't typically nap during the day because I find a lot of times when I nap, I wake up feeling sluggish and it takes me a while to get going. Sometimes if I've been really busy, I you know, almost drowsy a little bit in the evening, but then I catch my second wind and I'm back. And I learned when I was in college that I was much more productive working in the evening rather than in the morning. If I would get up in the morning,
me too.
Yeah, I get up in the morning. Everybody say, you got to get up in the morning, get an early start. I get up in the morning, I could have 8 hours of sleep. I get up in the morning and then I find myself fighting to stay awake. But if I started instead of after breakfast, started after supper and started working on something in the evening, I could easily go to midnight, 1, 2 in the morning and be going strong and be productive.
That's the same as me. I just, I'm much more productive later in the day.
Yeah.
Is there anything in the Bible that, says that a night owl is doing something unbiblical?
No, I don't think so. And that's like I said when we were talking about this, is that the idea is it's not so much when you go to sleep, it's how long you spend in bed. Because the idea of the sluggard doesn't want to get out of bed. And there's one that talks about the sluggard's like a door turning on its hinges. You know, he just goes back and forth, but he never gets out of bed. And that's the problem, you know, the sluggard and how slothfulness like that leads to poverty. It's not sleeping till 8 or 9 in the morning or whatever that leads to poverty. It's the fact that they're spending 10, 12 hours or more in bed. But the other things that talk about getting up early and all that, it has to do with the whole idea that at that time, in order to be productive, you had to get up when the sun came up.
I just never thought about that back in Bible times.
Yeah.
When they didn't have electricity, depended upon candles or whatever.
Well, yeah, I'm so, sitting in the studio right now. Outside, it's dark, but in the studio right near, bright lights. I can read my Bible, read my computer screen, and I've got lights to keep me going and everything. Mm-hmm. And everybody's made a little bit differently. You know, it's like one person drinks a cup of coffee after 10 in the morning and they can't sleep for the next 3 weeks. I can drink coffee at 2 in the morning, 2:30 in the morning, and I can lay down, I'm out to sleep in 5 minutes or less and sleep fine. But doesn't bother me in the slightest, you know.
Yeah, I think there's something to circadian rhythm.
Yes, yes.
Different people physically have different rhythms that they're born with because my father, he was a night owl too, and so was my twin sister. Now, my mother wasn't. But I think I inherited it from my father. I'm going to blame him.
Well, but think about it this way. All through society, society has been dependent on people who could be up at night to take care of things. I mean, think about this. Everybody that goes to sleep early, isn't it nice to know that there's police and firemen who are awake and on duty in case something happens?
Yesterday,
Armed Forces Day, and I know we're coming up on the break here. Yesterday was Armed Forces Day. Isn't it nice to know that when you're asleep in bed, that there are men and women around the globe in the United States military who are awake and watching? protect us. And what about in the hospital? If anybody's ever been in the hospital and you go to sleep in the hospital.
Oh, yeah. Can I just say one thing?
Yeah.
That was my favorite shift. I was in nursing for 26 years, and night shift was my favorite shift because I liked being up at night and I got paid a little bit more.
Yeah.
The work wasn't quite as hard.
Well, so, and other than having people come in and draw blood in the middle of the night, it's it's nice knowing that people in the hospital are awake and watching over you.
So. No, that's a good point, that there's policemen and firemen and people in nursing that are awake and they take care of things.
Yeah. Oh, but the biggest thing I would say, and I hear the music there, is the condemnation of sloth. Okay. So, hey, Nancy, great question tonight. We got a break coming up. Stay tuned. We got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. Our phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. Check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about me and the program, listen to past programs, our Friday afternoon program, both hours of our Sunday night program. And there's a bunch of articles and things that are there, and some other materials. You can also link to the page for our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church, and we'd love to have you visit there. We're located midway between Akron and Cleveland in Richfield, Ohio, right near where 77 and Interstate 271 cross, and at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, Ohio. Don't look for a building with a steeple or you won't find us. Look for our door. We're in a commercial strip, and we'd love to have you come out and visit us sometime. All right, let's see. I'm going to get to a couple other things here, but reminder that the Richfield Bible Baptist Church is our primary sponsor, but we're also sponsored by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's right, 216-341-9100. Let them know you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you're interested in opening your own pizza business, or perhaps you have a restaurant and you'd like to add good quality pizza to your lineup, call Gus at East Coast Pizza. Call Gus at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And Gus can help you get set up in your own pizza business, not a franchise. He'd be glad to help you get set up. That's East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School in Garfield Heights. Call them at 216-341-9100. All right, well, we're going to get back into our program here tonight. If you have a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. That phone number is 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Love to hear from you tonight. We've got Terry who's patiently waiting for us tonight. Terry, welcome to the program this evening.
Good evening, everybody.
Good evening.
Hello?
Yeah, good evening.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I lost you for a second.
Oh, that's okay.
I don't sleep much. I have what you call sleep apnea.
Oh, okay.
So I'm like you. I go to bed in the morning. I wake up in the morning.
Yeah, early to bed and early to rise makes a man tired and gives him bags under his eyes. That's how it goes. But
yeah. They gave me a machine when they diagnosed me with sleep apnea. They wanted me to have this machine, and I hated it. I didn't want that thing on.
I've seen people that have them. It looks like you got an octopus strapped to your face. But
yeah, I don't use it. I don't even use it. I tried using it, and I couldn't. I just said, no, I'm not wearing this.
It's
going to take me home so good.
I don't usually have any problem. I fall asleep, and if I wake up in the middle of the night for some reason or another, I usually go right back to sleep, and usually pretty good without any problems. So it's like I had somebody ask me one time, you see all this stuff that's happening in the world. No wonder you can't sleep. I said, no, it has nothing to do with that. I can watch the news and go right to bed, and generally speaking, fall right to sleep. I guess the secret for me is I know it's ultimately in the Lord's hands, despite the chaos that we see around us. You know, I'm looking up because our redemption draweth nigh, as Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. And so I put it in his hands, and I try to be aware of things and try to let people know what's happening, but I generally speaking don't let it keep me up at night. I just stay up late because I'm productive. That's when I'm working. It's quiet.
Well, I believe that you're peaceful, too. You're at peace because you have Jesus.
Yeah, exactly.
That gives us peace.
Yeah, there's an old song. I don't know who holds tomorrow, I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow, I think, or something like that, how the line went.
You guys, one thing came to me, I think you kind of said it a little bit, slothfulness.
Yes, that's the big condemnation, I think, is slothfulness.
Right. That came to me when you were talking to Nancy. We need to, if we can, we need to get up and get active.
Yeah, I mean,
and be motivated.
Yeah, I when my alarm goes off in the morning, I'm not a morning person. And it doesn't matter whether I've had 10 hours of sleep, 8 hours of sleep, or 3 hours of sleep. I don't want to get up. I'm just not a morning person. It takes me a little while to get going. But, you know, if I spent 8, 10, 12 hours a day or more in bed, you know, to me that's slothful because you're sleeping your life away. You're not doing anything. Now, let me qualify that, too. If I stayed up till, 2:30 in the morning playing video games, not doing anything productive, just wasting my time, then that's just as bad as slothfulness because, I'm not redeeming the time. The Bible says we're to redeem the time. But if I'm staying up till, 2:30 in the morning, reading the, if I'm reading the Bible or studying something or learning something and working on maybe one of my projects or something that I'm working on one of our church newsletters, maybe trying to put an article or something together. Because when I get going on some of the articles that I write, I always tell my wife, I said, once it reaches the point where it almost writes itself, I don't like to stop. And I'll go to 3 in the morning. I've gone later than 3 in the morning because I'm on a roll. I don't want to stop. I'm being productive. If I stop and I go to bed and get up, I'll have lost the initiative and lost the role that I was on and maybe even lost the thought. And so I would just assume if I'm not falling asleep, just keep going while I'm productive. Get the job done, and then get some rest. And, so again, I think it comes down to slothfulness is the big thing. And, of course, back in the day the Bible was being written, they didn't have our indoor lighting, with electricity and things. They had oil lamps and candles and such. And you needed to take advantage of the sunlight when you had it. You needed to be up with the sun to get stuff done. If you worked out in the fields, you can't go out and work the fields with candlelight. You just can't do it. You needed the sun. And so
you got to have some kind of light.
Exactly. In order to work. Exactly. And so as a consequence, I think the idea is you want to be productive. You want to do what God's calling you to do, be productive in it, and not spend your life in bed being slothful and certainly not frittering away your time. And I'll be the first to admit, it's easier looking up something online. I'm one of those guys that I've got 3 or 4 browsers open. In fact, let me look at my computer right now. I have 4 browsers open on my computer right now. the one that I'm looking at right now has 4 windows open. Another one has, that one's got 4 as well. Just out of curiosity, here's one that's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19 windows open. And what's the other one got? The other one has got, it's got about a dozen as well, I think. So at any rate, it's just, I got all these things on and it's easy sometimes. And I have to ask God to help me sometimes because it's easy to see something. And the next thing I know, I've stemmed off from that to half a dozen other things. And I lose track of where I was supposed to be because I found something that attracts my attention. I go in another direction. Or the one thing that I hate is you get these stupid video things sent to you. And they're designed to be addictive.
I hate that too.
They're designed to be addictive. And the next thing you know, you've got 5-10 minutes have disappeared, and you're looking at it saying, I'm not going to get that time back. That was a complete waste of time. It was, it was ridiculous. I remember when I was in college at Colorado State, my roommate was a journalism/graphic arts major. And so we would go over every once in a while to the art building because they would have like an art exhibit open or something like that. And we would go. We were in college. They have free food. When you're in college and you can get free food, you go. And so we went over there one time and somebody had, it was supposed to be art. And this makes me think about some of the junk that comes across your screen. A guy had some some kind of backpack thing on. It looks sort of like a Buck Rogers jetpack or something, only it wasn't really. And he had some kind of dippy helmet sort of thing on and goggles. And the art consisted of watching him kind of hop and skip along a ridge like he was going to run and take off and then stop a few times. And he never did anything other than that. And you're supposed to watch that and say, wow, that was profound. They called it performance art. And not being an art major, I would make fun of it. And my roommate would agree, even though he was an art major. But I find that that's a lot of what this stuff is. It's on online today. It's just, it's inane. It's empty. It's vacuous. It's vapid. It's there's nothing there. And you find you've wasted time, but you know what? The devil's good at reeling you in, and he doesn't have to tempt you with profane things or sensual things or anything like that necessarily. All he has to do is get your attention and pull your focus off the things that God wants you to be focused on at that time.
Yeah, and TV is one of them.
Oh, that's another thing too. But I find the internet is much worse for this than television.
I was just bringing that subject up because of I was listening. If I don't know for sure what I want to talk about, I usually listen to your affiliate station. And when I do, I come up with all kinds of stuff, like questions, right?
Yeah. Oh, hey, Terry, it just occurred to me a verse that we ought to mention while we're talking about this thing before we move on. I was thinking, and sorry to interrupt you on this, I was thinking of David when he said, He said, I will set no, I think it was, I set no wicked thing before my eyes. Let me see if I can see that real quick here. And Psalm 101. And I think this is something that we ought to mention before we jump off from that subject of, the internet or television wasting your time. David, in Psalm 101, let me just start with verse 1. David says this, I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way. When wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart. And then he says in verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. Froward means twisted or perverse. It's not a misspelling of forward. It's F-R-O-W-A-R-D. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person. And it's a great psalm. And it's, I think it's a psalm that people ought to look at in order to be able to consider what they're doing when they get sucked into things online. And we try to be careful with what we're doing. And a related verse with that would be Job chapter 31, where Job said this, and then this gets off into the other area the internet tries to pull people into, especially men. Job said in Job 31, verse 1, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? And that's an interesting thing when you start to break that down. I made a covenant with mine eyes. And this is a real warning to men to be careful what we look at. And then he says in the same sentence, why then should I think upon a maid? Because the devil used that to direct our thoughts in a direction they ought not to go. So,
yeah,
things to consider.
It's sad, but it's so, internet, like porn is,
well,
is a problem.
You know, the devil's the prince of the power of the air, isn't he?
Right. And he's using that to really entice people into that.
Yeah. And
that's a problem.
He's using that on a daily basis, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, like right. John warned about. So,
he's a master deceiver. Well, I read a book. I should look it up. But I got a book that I read, he's the master of it. The master of deception.
Right.
But,
sounds like you got a got a nail gun firing there in the background.
Yeah, it's Victoria Day tomorrow.
Oh, okay. So fireworks, huh?
Right.
Fireworks. Yeah, I was going to say, I hope it's a nail gun, not something. I just as an aside, you know, differences in where you're at. I was talking with somebody yesterday who grew up in Miami, Florida, and in the city. And of course, I grew up in more of a semi-rural area, and where I live right now is you know, I consider it less semi-rural than what it used to be, but to him it was a rural area. And I said, oh yeah, there's a guy out there on the other side, you know, and he's off in the township area, and I'll hear him at 1 a.m. I've heard him at 2 a.m. just out doing some target practice. And I said, in an area like this, when you hear gunfire at 1 or 2 a.m, you think nothing of it. In fact, I feel a little jealous thinking, man, he's probably having a good time. But if I was in inner city and I heard gunfire at 1 or 2 a.m, it's a completely different thought, isn't it?
Yeah, that's true.
So I'm just thankful when I hear gunfire, it's not because I'm in downtown Akron or downtown Cleveland. I'm out where I'm at in a more rural setting, and I can enjoy thinking, well, he's probably plinking at some targets or something like that or whatever. But anyway, it doesn't bother me. But if I lived in town, then I'd think differently. So but anyway, that's a complete aside.
Anyway, the scripture I was going to bring up was, what shall profit a man if he gains his whole world and loses his own soul?
Right, right.
And that's talking about, my understanding of this is that it's talking about people that don't want to accept Jesus. They just want to gain everything that this world has to offer and not even think about.
Right.
Jesus has.
And of course, that was Jesus when he was talking in Mark chapter 8, and the statement there, what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? And then the next thing he says is, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And I guess in a sense, you almost think about it, where's your value?
Where's our hurt at?
Exactly. What do we value? What do we put our heart and our heart's affection upon? Things of the world, or something that's more important, like spiritual things? And that makes me think of, and I'm trying to think where it's at. Remember the rich man that came to Jesus and said, "Good master," you know, and he basically was wanting to know what good thing he could do to inherit eternal life. And, Jesus...
He said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor.
Right, right. But remember, prior to that, you know, he had a little conversation about what it means to be good. And, it's the idea that he thought he was a good person. He was trying to do good things, and no doubt if you knew him, he would have been a good person to be around. Here it is in Matthew chapter 19 here. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 19. And behold, one came and said to him, "Good master, what good thing shall I do that I have eternal life?" And he said to me, "Why callest thou me good? There's none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments." Okay? And the man says to Jesus in verse 18, he said it unto him, which Jesus said, "Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not honor false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Now think about this for a minute. The Ten Commandments, which Jesus apparently is referring to here when he said, keep the commandments, and the man said, well, what commandment specifically? And he reviews for the man the commandments that relate to our relationship to other people, right? But you know what he didn't mention? He didn't mention our relationship with God. And the first one, of course, being, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And the man said, all these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Now, what kept him from following Christ was not the fact that he was rich. That's what a lot of people falsely think. What kept him from following Christ is when Jesus said, keep the commandments, and then he only talked about commandments relating to our fellow man, but not to God. It's because the man was great in keeping his, you know, the relationship with his fellow man, but he had something that was greater than God in his life, and that was his wealth, his possessions. And that's why he went away sorrowful. That's why God said, sell all that you have and give it to the poor. Because he knew that that man valued his possessions more than God.
Yeah, and this ties in with, you know, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Right.
Whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whomsoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it.
Right.
Then it says, for what shall profit a man if he gains his whole world and loses his own soul?
Right. Because there's nothing.
In exchange for a soul, yeah.
Yeah, I say there's nothing that the world can offer us that's more important than God. But the problem is, so many people are convinced that something in the world is more important than God. And that's where the, where they can't let go of it. And that
and
keeps them from Christ.
Really hard. I know people, they work hard all every day, not every day, but they work, and then on the weekends they party.
Yeah.
And that's their whole life.
Yeah, and some people, that's why they work. They work so they can party.
So they can have money to enjoy what this world has to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's gaining, I believe that's gaining with this whole world.
Yeah, a lot of people, that's the problem. And you know what? The devil's more than happy to keep people in that mindset. Because as long as they're not thinking about eternity and considering the claims of the gospel, he's more than happy for them to go through life like that.
And they think that they're doing the right thing. They think that I'm good. I work hard. I do this. I do that. Right. And,
yeah.
And you know, the most scariest scripture in the Bible is, "What shall profit a man if he gains his whole world and loses his own soul?"
Right. Right, and that individual that I was sharing in the passage there, the rich man, he gained the world, but he was losing his own soul because the things of the world were much more important to him.
Right.
So, yeah.
And then it talks about the rich man and Lazarus, too. Mm-hmm. It talks about that.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, people often wonder if that rich man was that person that Jesus was talking to, but I think it was more.
Yeah, this one here, though, I think is a younger person, perhaps, than that one. But, hey, we got about 15, 20 seconds left here. Final thought that you want to mention there before we go?
The only thing I can always say is that, you know, we need to look up.
Amen. Keep looking up. Our redemption draweth nigh. Thanks for calling, Terry, and stay tuned. We got another hour to go. Drag queen story hours in our schools and churches, gender dysphoric men dominating women's sports, violence and anarchy taking over our streets, all encouraged and promoted by politicians, school boards, teachers' unions, even churches. America is spiraling into an abyss of spiritual darkness and moral insanity. Now more than ever, God's people need to shine forth as beacons of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But what if they won't heed the light? Well, as President Reagan used to say, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. Unfortunately, many churches have abandoned the Word of God for the philosophies of men, and their light has gone out. The fire has gone out in their pulpits, and they've become lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They need to repent and turn back to God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Don't hide your light. Light a fire. Stand up. Speak out. Vote and make them feel the heat.